Podtacular 276, MLG Columbus 2012, and Halo 4 Competitive Analysis for March 11th, 2012. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, and I have two guests with me today to discuss some MLG topics, and they are now former MLG photographer, Anti-Pro.
What's going on, guys?
And the world record holder for Halo Reach Challenges, Naked Eli.
What's going on, everyone?
Oh, well, I'm sure a lot's going on if they could respond, but anyways.
You don't have a chat box? No? People don't talk during these episodes.
We'll pretend they talk to us.
It'll figuring be all
right. That this podcast rarely goes live, I don't think a chat box would actually help too much.
Because
it would just be the three of us talking about stuff, and we would just be chatting among ourselves, and then trying to keep conversation straight between the Skype chat and then the.
It's okay. We can pretend.
Yeah, we can pretend someone's typing something. Oh, look at this question that someone has about penance. Would you like to discuss MLG, Duststorm?
Well, that is what we're here to do. So we might as well go ahead and talk some MLG. So for everyone who is in the competitive scene, as of this release, MLG is in 11 days, the first event, MLG Columbus. So that will be the first event for everything non-StarCraft, because we already had, the winner qualifiers?
Winner Arena. Yeah.
Winner Arena.
Yeah. The StarCraft stuff is, I guess, kind of in its own thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Halo sort of built MLG up to what it is today through Halo 2 and Halo 3, and Reach just hasn't been up to par, so StarCraft is what's allowed MLG to really continue forward and make them the money they need to run these events.
Yeah, which is, I mean, figuring that they started on Halo 4, or not Halo 4, but just Halo in general, it's kind of interesting to see them go away from, I guess, more or less their core.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Could you consider Halo to basically be the core of MLG at this point?
No, not at all.
Nope.
I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, you know, coming from me, you know, I got my start in gaming, you know, with Halo 2, or should I say online gaming and competitive gaming in general. I got my start in Halo 2. And, you know, back in those glory days, like, you know, that was the bread and butter of MLG. But, you know, it's sad to see today, at least with MLG, that, you know, Halo is really not the centerpiece anymore. You know, when StarCraft entered the scene, at 2010 at Raleigh, you know, it was still small. It was, you know, a little side stage, and, you know, as it continued on growing. And I think the first event it was center stage in was, Anaheim. That was last year. And ever since then, I mean, you know, Halo, like, you know, team registrations have been on the decline, and just, you know, viewership in general has just been going down. So
yeah,
I mean I wish it was still up there, don't get me wrong, like, you know, but it's sad to see that it's not.
Yeah, Call of Duty was bigger than Halo, right? I don't know if you guys know the data on that, but wasn't COD bigger than Halo last year?
As the events went on, Halo declined and Call of Duty was on the uprise. And the last event in Providence, there were more Call of Duty teams registered than Halo teams. And fun fact, if you've ever been to an MLG event, you will know that normally they do like the first three or four rounds. You normally have to play split screen. And they had so few teams register for Halo that round one, you know, first game you sit down, you got your own screen. So it is pretty sad, but I do have to say that I kind of think I blame that on, you know, the whole, you know, debate on no bloom, no sprint and all that stuff. You know, they released the game types. MLG didn't adapt to those game types because, you know, they played the whole season out on them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this time around, I mean, they're still not sold out. There's only, you know, 10 or 11 days to go, and they're still not sold out on team passes. So
are they still halfway there? I remember seeing Puckett's 40-minute overview, and they were halfway at that point.
Right. I'm not sure what the numbers are at this exact moment, but, you know, if it was sold out, I'm sure we would see it all over Twitter, and it's still not sold out. So
yeah, that was 10 days ago that they were halfway. So I'm hoping that maybe by now they're like 3/4. And I mean, even if it doesn't sell out completely, like, it's still showing a lot of support for Halo, and maybe they'll be like, oh, this is now profitable again, and the community has changed and evolved. You know, like, Halo went through a big change with the start of the Halo Council and pros realizing that, you know, people aren't just going to hand MLG to them anymore. Like, they have to work to keep it in the circuit, change their attitudes, start spreading their names on Twitter and YouTube. And, like, there's the Halo community seen a lot of positive social media change because of that recently. So I think this is just another step in the right direction, if anything.
I mean, hopefully throughout this year we'll see a lot more people kind of get back interested into Halo, especially with, I mean, I don't know how much this will affect players coming back, but with Halo 4 on the rise, and if we do see, I mean, we saw some pretty good things that they're bringing back in Halo 4 that I think a lot of people were happy with, one of which was the BR.
Oh, yeah.
And
the hit scan.
And the hit scan, too.
The Halo 2 BR. Woo-woo.
So I think that was kind of a big thing, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But I'm guessing with that news, we might see, hopefully we'll start to see a incline of participants in Halo for this year. At least that's what it looks like it's going to take in order to keep Halo for MLG alive.
Right. Well, you know, the thing that has me worried the most, you know, for the Halo side of things is the fact that Columbus, Ohio, in that general area is kind of the epicenter of professional Halo. You know, this is literally as far to the roots of MLG that you can get, you know, with the player base, as well as even like all the people behind MLG, they're from this area. And if Halo Reach can't sell out in Columbus, that, I don't know, man, it sends a message and it scares me. You know, and you know, I do a show, like a weekly show, where we kind of talk about esports, and you know, I was on the camera and I was like, look guys, like, this is your time to do this. And you know, I'm afraid to see what's going to happen if they don't get a really positive response, not necessarily just, you know, with registered teams, but just spectators in general as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, do you want to talk a little bit about why Columbus is the center and the root of MLG? Like, I know that that's where the Ogres are from, right? And I know that's where a lot of pros got their FFA starts. But you probably know more, Josh. Like, how far back does Columbus really go?
Well, and it's actually really funny. Columbus, I believe the first year that MLG actually was at Columbus was 2007. Let me make sure here. It's really funny because I have my Raleigh shirt actually sitting, which has all of them. Columbus was 2009. 2009 was the first year that MLG actually made it to Columbus. And I remember specifically, I was like, I can't believe it. It took that long. Because like you said, we have the Ogres, which are in Kentucky, as well as Almite, Warrior, Ace, Strong Side. The very first Halo 2 tournament I ever went to, I always tell this story, I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but I sat down and I played Strong Side and a warm-up for free-for-all before I even really knew what MLG was at the time. Like, this is back like in the way early days of Halo 2.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, you take a look at, you know, Shibby. You know, he went to Ohio University. Adam Apicella, the league operations manager, is from this area. And they kind of, you know, got together and they did, 500K or something, or 5K, Halo 5K. They started all that stuff, you know, right here in Ohio. If you guys don't know, I'm from Cincinnati. I'm about 2.5 hours away from Columbus. And, you know, the whole Halo scene here is huge. And that's why it worries me that, you know, that the passes didn't sell out. You know, I expected them to go pretty quickly, especially with No Bloom, No Sprint. You know, this is the game types everyone was crying about at the end of last season. And here they are, but people aren't, you know, putting their money where their mouths are. You know, because like I said, as much as I, you know, we were kind of talking before the episode, like as much as I kind of, you know, play more PC games and I haven't, I don't even remember the last time I played Halo Reach, honestly. I mean, I pop it in every once in a while, but it saddens me to see it go, because I love it. I love Halo. I love the storyline. I love the players, you know, because I have a lot of really good connections with a lot of the players that play at MLG. So, you know, it would really sadden me to see it go.
I'm hoping with, I mean, despite how this year turns out with Halo 4, that, because they, or at least, like, I guess it was Frankie, and one of the things that they're talking about, that they were definitely looking to the competitive side of Halo and trying to get that worked out too. So
I have a lot more faith with 343 to work with, you know, the competitive side of things. Yeah.
I'm wondering how much they're kind of interacting with MLG and other professional leagues to make sure that they get Halo the way that people want it.
Well, we know that the developers for Gears 3 worked with pro gamers to shape the game so that right out of the box it had competitive settings, right? And that's like a huge success story that the Halo Council was trying to talk to one of these guys and asking, you know, how did you get in touch with the developers? What can pros in Halo do to get in touch with 343? What can we say to let 343, you know, listen to us and appeal to the competitive community? And so I don't know if that conversation has helped shape that direction, but I know that Frankie does seem interested in creating a competitive experience right out of the box. Like, of course, they're going to still appeal to a casual crowd because that's what sells the game, right?
Right.
Like, shooters these days all have sprint, which if you followed any competitive discussion, people hate sprint. And I actually was just running some MLG customs yesterday, and we're like, let's put sprint back in just for fun to see what it's like. And it sucked. Like, going from No Bloom, No Sprint to sprint again was like, you can just sprint all the way across Sanctuary as soon as you spawn. Or if, like, you're getting shot at their hut, you just, like, sprint right back into your rocks. Like, it's just ridiculous how it doesn't change the pace of the game in a good way. It just, like, slows down the killing and the gameplay, which is sort of counterintuitive to the idea that sprint helps you move faster. Right?
Right.
So I'm hoping, I mean, I saw, we all saw in the Halo 4 video, I don't know if we want to jump into that conversation yet, but that there will be sprint back. And my question is, like, does that mean armor abilities are back? All the little Spartan 4s had little thruster packs on them, right? So is that just going to be like a mini jetpack? Like, this is what I'm hoping, right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that there's going to be like little bubbles of energy that you have to pick up around the map to be able to use these abilities like equipment in Halo 3. Like, so everyone can sprint or thruster pack, but you have to pick up a little bubble and you only have one use of it, and so you have to make that use really count instead of just like constantly abusing the shit out of, or sorry, yeah, we're not allowed to curse, sorry, instead of constantly abusing.
I mean, I'll bleep out whatever's needed, but just okay, go ahead.
Sorry, the jetpack. Anyways, I just hope that Halo 4 is like really competitive and that there is a ranking system, because Reach is a great game. People underestimate it, but if it had a ranking system, I think people would be more passionate about it and stick with it like Halo 3.
I think we'll probably see one.
Amen, brother.
I mean, there's been a big push in at least the Waypoint forums from what I've seen. I'm assuming there's kind of been something similar in the MLG and other places, but I mean, since Arena didn't basically serve the purpose it's supposed to, I would think if what Frankie was saying was true, that they're working with competitive, that MLG playlist or any other competitive playlist that's going to be, or something like that, is going to be ranked. I think it would kind of be stupid of them not to rank it at this point.
Like, why would you have 20 social playlists and then one ranked playlist, and then have your rank not even show up on your account and anywhere else in the game unless you go click 6 times through their service record to see what their rank is this season. And then your rank gets deleted every 3 months or whatever, every 3 seasons. And it just really was a smack in the face to competitive players, which they don't realize is both casual and hardcore players.
Yeah.
Like, hardcore players want to get that top rank, but casual players still would like to know where they are in the scheme of things, right? Like, all the 20s and 30s in Halo 3, like, they were always constantly trying to get better and improve themselves, and they're always playing against people at their skill level. So even though, like, MLG players might think there's just, like, pros and semis and then everyone else, like, there's still a huge division, right, between, like, what I'd call arena competitive players in Reach, like all these kids who think they're good because they get their 1%, versus like kids who can't break the Iron Division. You know, there's a huge gap there, and a numbering system like 1 to 50 was such a great way. It was Halo, right? That's what attracted so many people to the experience of multiplayer. So I think
the Halo 3 way was kind of the best from all the games that we've seen so far.
Yeah, you had like ranking in each playlist, like,
it's a combination of skill and how much you play.
Right.
So,
like, I was watching, I don't know if you guys saw Ninja's 18-minute rant on Twitch. He uploaded it to YouTube, but he was saying how, like, it was cool to have your 5-star general or whatever in the MLG playlist, right? Like, if you played that much MLG on your 50, then that was, like, you know, mad respect. But, like, no one cares in Reach if you're an inheritor, because that just means you have no life and you probably played a lot of Firefight, you know?
Right. I mean, I'm more partial to, and this is just me going back to, like, the Halo 2 side of things. I think one of my biggest, you know, gripes with, like, the Halo 3 ranking was not necessarily that it was easy to get a 50 or get way up those high, you know, to those high ranks. With Halo 2... because it was so hard to even get, like, you know, the highest rank I ever got was a 40, and like that, like, killed me to get it. And I think it, you know, kind of said a lot more, especially when the rank next to your name, if you lost it, you lost it. Whereas if you get a 50 in Halo 3, like, it just says 50 right next to your name. You know,
it's your highest that you've ever attained.
Right. But like you said, though, I love the experience aspect of it as well, because it gives those people, you know, that aren't necessarily like out to get their 50. It still gives them something to strive for, you know, overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, people don't quit.
If they bring back those icons in Halo 4, 343 is gonna be my new best friend.
Right?
The two icons are bust. This little bunny ears, man.
Yeah.
That's where it's bunny at. Ears.
I just hope that there's no cheating again, you know? Like, that's something that I do like about having Reach be a social game, is I can meet players who are better than me, like, just because we're chilling and playing social Halo, you know? Whereas if it was ranked, like, they'd always rank, the top ranked players would always want to play with their top ranked friends. Right. And so I think in Reach, we've seen a little bit more of a diffusion of talent across the spectrum, and people are willing to just go and play Team Slayer with whoever, you know? Or even MLG. MLG is not even ranked, so.
Right. They have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people still quit. That was, like, one of my biggest gripes with Reach, is that you don't lose credits. You don't lose anything by quitting, except for, like, possibly having a lower probability of getting 10,000 bonus points one game, you know? So they definitely need a quit penalty in Halo 4. Please to God. Or just, like, take out the quit button, because why would you want to quit out of your teammates? Like, if you want to get out of the game, you should have to turn off your Xbox. Like,
but, I mean, what about the games where you're just getting completely dominated, or maybe a game that's just laggy to the point where you can't really play, and you're hurting your team more than you're helping? I mean, there are legitimate times where quitting is acceptable.
Really? I just want to say, I'm pulling up right now, because I always prided myself on it, because you know how you can go into your service record, you know, and you can see your negative points or whatever. oh my God, where is it? It's like
for
in
Halo
the teens.
3, right?
Yeah, in Halo 3.
Yeah, mine's like 14 or something.
Yeah, mine was like
30 rating. Or
something. I mean, the only time I really...
27.
The only time I went down was because I got lagged out. Except for maybe once or twice where it's like, okay, this game is ridiculous, we're leaving and finding another game.
I pride myself on never leaving games. I don't care how bad we're getting beat or whatever. And I pull up my stats up on Raptor, if you guys know what that is. I have 714 hours logged on Halo 3, and I've only quit or lagged out of 27 games. Like,
that's good.
Looking over to, like, one of my new favorite developers is Riot Games, if you guys are familiar with League of Legends.
Yeah.
They have a system where if you quit a game in League of Legends, and you can't play any more games until that game is done, and if you try to go back into matchmaking, it throws you back into that same game that you just left.
that's interesting. I like that.
You don't? Oh, you do? Okay, so that sounded like a reluctant, like, no.
No, it was sort of like a, that's funny, you're trying to go play again, but you can't, because they're going to throw you back in.
Well, I mean, what I'm going to see in Halo 4, and I mentioned this on, I guess, two podcasts ago when we first got the Halo 4 news, but I wish there was a way in Halo 4 for you to rejoin a matchmaking game if you get lagged out. So if you're, like, in with a party and you somehow get lagged out, the ability to go back into the game you just left.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
I mean, there's been some discussions where, like, for social playlists, anybody can come and go to fill spots to even out game. So, like, maybe your big team battle or your squad slayer or something like that, you could have other people join in. But then for your competitive stuff, you lock the party to whoever started and then give people the ability to come back into the game if they lag out for some reason.
What do you think about that, Josh? I don't know about bringing in Randy's just to lag out.
I mean,
it would be different if it was just for, like, social playlists and stuff like that. Like, let's say if you're playing big team battle or something and people drop out, I don't necessarily feel that that's a bad thing. But at the same time, being someone who kind of also logged a lot of hours in, like, the Call of Duty series as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of one of those things that I wasn't a big fan of too, especially like when you get thrown into a game and you're like about to lose, and now you have that loss tick on your profile, and you didn't get any experience for it, you know. Because, and it's funny because I go through these stages where I'm like really competitive and like my kill death ratio like really matters to me, or my win loss ratio really matters to me. But then there's some days that I don't care. But there's a lot of people out there that they always care, and if that loss
mm-hmm.
is gonna kill them, man. Like, you know, if they get in there and they lose that game, like, with 2 seconds to go.
Yeah, that convinces me. Bad idea. Next.
fair enough. But, I mean, what about the rejoining part? The rejoining part seems simple enough. I mean,
that in on itself will... It's not gonna prevent people from quitting, because, you know, what happens in League of Legends is you can just quit and you go, you know,
there's
the microwave or watch some TV until you can play again. And the difference is those games are like 40 to like 40 minutes to like an hour and 20 minutes long. So you have to do something for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be that much here. But I think that, you know, and on top of that, when that game's over, they put a penalty on you. Like, you can't go into matchmaking until like a timer runs out or whatever. So I just think that more penalties for quitting in general, whether that's you have to get thrown back into the game, or you literally get temp banned for, like, the whole day. Like, if you quit 5 games in one day, like, you can't play for, like, 24 hours or something like that.
Right.
That might be too harsh. But I don't think people should quit games, but that's just me.
Yeah, but, I mean, on top of that, too, there should also be something in there where if you lag out, it doesn't penalize you as much. Because, I mean, I've gone into games where like, my school network is just getting hammered and I get lagged out like every other game.
I agree, but at the same time, if you're lagging out that much, then you're creating a negative experience for all the people who you're playing with online, and they're having to suffer. So you're going
I'm just saying, as an extreme example, if you lag out once or twice, it shouldn't really count against you, though.
But it's true. I mean, how do you tell the difference from a network perspective between someone lagging out versus someone just quitting or turning off their Xbox?
Well, I mean, yeah, there
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Halo 4, quit penalties, boom. Now, did Duststorm, you wanted to talk a little bit more about MLG for the MLG people listening? So we haven't really gone over like the changes or anything.
Well, I mean,
we got off on that tangent.
Yeah.
I mean, there are still a few other things in Halo 4. I didn't know if we wanted to try to cover those before.
Oh, sure.
I mean, MLG specifically. Again, with the we have the battle rifle back with the hit scan.
Mother of God.
Yep.
That's all I have to say. That gun is going to single-handedly save competitive Halo.
Pretty much.
I mean, what other things or aspects from Halo 3, or I guess, what things would you take from Reach and put in Halo 4, and what things would you take from like Halo 2 and Halo 3 and put in Halo 4 if you could, to make the better multiplayer experience?
Who's going first?
Well, we already talked about a ranking system. We already talked about quit penalties.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the BR and the hit scan, so the Halo 2 BR as opposed to the Halo 3 BR with the projectile system.
I guess an interesting discussion topic is, because there is sprint in Call of Duty, and I guess since Call of Duty is popular, why do you think sprint kills Halo competitively?
That's easy. Shields. Because in Call of Duty, you can sprint around, but if someone sees you and they blow your head off, you're dead. As right. opposed to Halo, you can take 3-4 shots and still just keep on running. You know?
You sprint around that corner and regen.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you said, I think it kills the speed of the game as well. You know, because if you look back at how fast-paced Halo 2 was, and Halo 3 even, compared to the sprint Halo Reach... you know, as much as I don't like to say this, like, sometimes it was even boring watching some of those matches, you know, with the sprint on. But,
isn't
like,
if you, true?
Go,
yeah.
if you go back and look at those games, like, Halo 2 especially, like, the speed of Halo 2 was ridiculously awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, let's see, what other features? Please, I did not like, well, this is more, you know, you never saw them in, you know, competitive play. But, you know, like in Halo 3, you know, your equipment, or in Halo Reach, you did see some of the armor abilities. Like, I was never a big fan of those.
You didn't even like equipment? You didn't think it added something interesting to the game, a new dynamic?
It added a new dynamic, but I didn't like that.
Equipment
change.
Never got used in MLG, did it? Except for...
No.
Like, I mean, your overshield and your camo is still there, but
right.
that's not really equipment. That's kind of been there since Halo 1.
Right.
All driven into the same category as like power-ups, you
as
know.
As power-ups, yeah.
Right. And so like a bubble shield you could think of as just like an invincibility that extends beyond you for a certain period of time. Like, I don't know, I was never a part of the Halo 3 MLG scene, and I'm still not really a part of the MLG scene in Reach, but I follow it enough now to know that people didn't really like equipment in Halo 3, and I just am curious, why is that? Like, is it the like traditionalist attitude of like, we want Halo 2 back and just straight up the core of Halo, and we don't want any new features? Because, you know, Halo 4 is going to be bringing in new features, and
right
can't just stay the same thing forever.
It's hard to, you know, be a voice of like the entire community, because I've been more embedded into the competitive side of things, you know, throughout my years. And, you know, my biggest thing that I didn't like about it was it added a new element to the game, whereas you know, for instance, you know, you look at some of the games that are really, really highly competitive, you know, historically, like Counter-Strike or Quake, and you see how they have their, you know, their shields and things like that, and you can buy different items like in Counter-Strike per se, you know, but the game has stayed the same, you know, for years. And, you know, you look at like the ESL, the Intel Extreme Masters World Championships was this weekend, and they're playing Counter-Strike 1.6. That game came out like in the 90s.
Yeah, that's an old game.
It's all the same. You know, it brings a different element into the battle, because, you know, being competitive, you want your skill to shine. It's kind of like NASCAR. You want everyone to be on an equal playing field. Whereas, you know, if you have like those armor abilities and you have you know, those, you know, the equipment, or even like when we were talking about Bloom, how there was that randomness kind of thrown into the mix.
Right.
They want it to be pure, you know, unchanged gameplay. And I think that's what the competitive side of things, you know, really kind of strives for, you know, and if they use any of those, you know, armor abilities, they treat it more like a power up in the sense of you have to go out and get it on the map. In the sense of, you know, a laid back, you know, social aspect or whatever, you know, there were some really cool times that I've, you know, been playing and, you know, something stupid happened with like armor abilities or, you know, where someone armor locks and, you know, blows up a warthog full of people or.
Right. Yeah.
That makes the game fun. Don't get me wrong, but in a competitive side of things,
really I wasn't no purpose. A big
fan of, right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So my
yeah, I always. Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say something else that I like. I think there were two. Actually, I always forget. I always say there are like two or three things that could have made Reach a lot better. One was the ranking system. The other one is the loadouts. Like, if I was really excited to hear that we'd be able to grab jetpacks and, you know, an active camo that regenerates and things like that. But when I saw that everyone could start off with those abilities, no matter what. Like, that sort of ruined the game, the experience, because now you have a team of four or five people all using armor lock or hiding with their active camo or just jetpacking and breaking map geometry, as opposed to having, like, one jetpack on the map that actually makes it valuable, like we see in MLG now, right, on Sank right. or whatever map. Like, that's what makes the power-up valuable, is having to go out on the map and pursue it, like you said, Josh, as opposed to just, oh, I'm just going to click that and start with it. You know, that sort of broke the game completely in the eyes of many competitive players, including myself. So I think if abilities do make a return in Halo 4, they need to not be loadouts. Like, I don't know. They said that we're going to be able to customize our loadouts, which kind of scares me. I'm hoping it's just like whether you want to start with the BR or the AR, for example, like something tame like that, or like, I don't know. I don't know what you could do for armor abilities, like sprint or no sprint. Like, no one's going to choose no sprint.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I feel like maybe... Right,
isn't there a rumor of, like...
Unlockables, too.
Yeah.
Isn't there some kind of rumor of, like, armor effects?
Armor effects? What do you mean?
I don't think I've heard anything like that. Enlighten us.
I think I've seen a term been tossed around, and I could just be making this up.
Oh, you're talking about perks. Like, the fact that in Reach, when you buy armor, it's just...
Well,
like, aesthetic. Right, as opposed to in 4, it'll have effects that
make you stronger. Right.
Yeah. No, I've been talking about this on my YouTube, and some users are hypothesizing that it's just like small changes to the core game mechanics. So like maybe you'll have a perk that can make you sprint a little bit faster, or jump a little bit higher,
or
like
carry an extra grenade.
Right. Something like that that's not completely game-breaking. Like, you're not starting with rockets. And they already announced, you know, we're not going to make a massive asymmetrical advantage by giving someone power weapons off the start. But I could see how, like, two different teams with two different play styles could change their, I don't know, they don't call them perks, but whatever you want to call them, their customized loadouts to adapt and make their gameplay stronger. Like, I think this could actually be an interesting way to improve MLG and take it to the next level. Like, the team that's smarter or adapts maybe their jump height better than the other team, I don't know, I could see a new interesting dynamic coming out of that.
So basically, like, you actually see different class of Spartans, like maybe you have the fast assault person that can go in and out, like, maybe can run just a tad faster,
that'd be cool.
And it's a little shorter or something.
You know, because if you have your, like, objective player, you know, the person who's, like, normally going in for the flag or for the bomb, you know, if they have
give him, like, a tad bit of extra shield or health.
Right, or health, too, yeah. I think...
Well, they're not going to have health, but they'll have shield.
Well, when I say health, I mean shield.
And I hope that, you know, it's funny because me, you know, kind of spending more time around, you know, PC people, I kind of adapted some of their mentality, but I hope that everyone is able to, like, access that and not necessarily you have to unlock it. Because I feel like having everyone and this is more of the competitive side of things. Cause I'm sure you can do it in, like, options, you know, in custom games and stuff like that.
Oh,
but
yeah, probably,
you know, having, you know, the ability to, you know, have everyone, you know, have access to that is crucial for at least the competitive side of things. Right. Since we're kind of talking, you know, a little bit about MLG as well.
And because people don't bring their Xboxes to competitions anymore, right? Like MLG supplies all of that. And so I guess unless users would have to transfer their profiles and like, let's say Ninja has played 2,000 games, so he has everything maxed out. Like, that'd be totally unfair for him to go up against amateur players who can only play twice a week. Right. You know?
And that's why we need to have the ear of 343 and make sure we get some sort of...
Well, they're listening to this show, so...
But you also have... Hello. But you also have to ask, like, how important is MLG to... the creation of Halo 4, right? Like, they're just, I don't know. I know that they're listening, but
they've already said that Halo 4 multiplayer is definitely disparate of the campaign from Halo. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely, it seems like there's definitely two separate teams working on the game.
Right.
And
it had me excited. They announced that the multiplayer maps are completely developed separate.
Yeah.
None of this, you know, we're going to cut part of the level out and turn it into a map.
Well, I mean, that was really only done with Reach.
Right. No, right. I know. Because that was one of the things I was going to say, you know, where you were like, what would you have from other games? I'm like,
right.
Halo 1, 2, and 3 multiplayer maps. Not necessarily the same maps, but I want to see some really, really nicely developed, you know.
Right.
Did they build the multiplayer maps first and then integrate those into campaign? Or because I think what happened was they made the maps with campaign in mind and then put it into campaign rather than making campaign and then saying, oh, which of these spaces works for multiplayer? Like, I don't think it went in that direction, right?
It's just weird that every multiplayer map, except for Forge World, but then Forge World had 5 other maps built in.
Too gray.
Yeah. And I mean, granted, 343's. I mean, it's on a Forerunner facility. There's going to be lots of gray, but please, 343, give us some color.
Color.
Yeah.
No gray, please.
As much as I love Forge World, as much as I think that, like, when they announced that and they first look and everything, that was like the coolest thing ever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I spent my hours and hours and hours in that as well, you know, messing with maps and stuff like that, but. I mean, I feel like they kind of use Forge World as an excuse, like, oh, well, look, we gave you this space that you can make any map, whoever, you know, to your heart's content, like, go make it.
If you think about it, it's almost like Reach was kind of Bungie's last experiment with Halo.
True.
Mm-hmm. And granted, there is some grudges between 343 and Bungie, and that might be cause to some of the things that we've seen in Reach. We can't be sure. But for... at least what I was hoping for with Halo Reach when they did it was that they would actually kind of incorporate new Forge World-like spaces that had different themes. So you could have like an Earth City theme, you could have a Covenant theme, and that kind of stuff that actually provide a different kind of color spectrum.
Or like different weather, like snow or rain.
I want customizable weather, day and night, that kind of stuff. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Now, like, we sound very, like, gimme, 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 right? I mean, like, Forge World, like you said, Josh, is amazing and an incredible tool. Like, Call of Duty doesn't have a map-making tool, right? Like, right. Gears doesn't have a map-making tool. Like, just to have a map-making tool in a console FPS is huge and is something that Bungie has gone over and beyond with. But, like, the fact that half of the maps that shipped with the game were these gray Forge World pieces was really disappointing to the competitive community. And the fact that Asylum was like the worst remake known to man, so that the MLG community had to build another version of it to work, you know, like, is kind of silly. So I'm hoping that, I'm sure they've recognized this mistake. And it was a cool idea, but I think we're gonna see, like, you know, 10 good, solid, competitive maps straight off the start. A mix of, you know, symmetrical arena spaces versus open asymmetrical battlegrounds. Like, I'm really excited to see what they come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went from like not being very excited at all, you know, because of, you know, my experience with Reach. And after I saw that that video that they launched like a couple of days ago, I'm excited now. Yeah. I'm pumped.
Yeah, dude. We still have a long ways to wait, though. That's the thing that sucks.
Well, and another thing is with, and this is kind of another talking point I wanted to cover, with Halo 4 coming out in holiday 2012, which I'm assuming it's going to be like November, like November, it's probably going to be Thanksgiving-ish or like the week before, kind of like how Halo CEA was, so probably like the week before Thanksgiving or something. With it coming out that late, is MLG really going to have enough time to turn around, have game types out, and have players playing it and getting it ready for next year's Pro Circuit if they do actually decide to do Halo 4?
Yes and no.
to yes? Which parts? To which parts?
Yeah, well, it depends on what MLG wants to do. If, you know, because, you know, MLG actually adapted into Reach faster than I thought they would. I didn't expect them to bring Reach in until the 2011 season, you know, and they brought it in the last event or of, so they brought it in pretty quickly. And they can do that. And the thing is, you know, if they bring it in, you know, and they the first, you know, season, because that's the thing with MLG, you know, how they're doing their system now is they have four seasons a year. They have the winter, the spring, the summer, and the fall season. And that allows them to adapt quicker to changes. So, you know, yes, they did change the game types a little bit here and there throughout the MLG seasons in the past, but normally they were just small tweaks here and there. They never really did any like game changing, you know, changes to the game types. So if they wanted to, they could bring it in pretty quickly. And then if they didn't necessarily like their game types, they might run it for, you know, the winter season. And then in the spring season, they can change it. Or they could drag their feet and really, really take a look at the game because, you know, it's not Bungie. You know, it's 343. Like, I don't necessarily foresee them doing it, but they could wait a season before they bring it in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
It's up in the air. Who knows what they'll do? We'll cross that bridge when it presents itself.
Well, I wonder if they are actually, or how closely 343 is kind of collaborating with these competitive communities, if they'll actually get some kind of pre-release showing of what Halo 4 would be like and actually get something or have the tools necessary for when it comes out to have stuff ready for everyone playing MLG.
Right. I hope they do. I hope they are working well, and not necessarily just competitive, just the community in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having the ear of the competitive community would be great, too, because I feel that, you know, with Halo Reach, I think that it fell short a little bit, at least on the competitive side. But yeah, it would be interesting to see how much they're talking to them.
I mean, I think like developers would be okay, like comparing the Gears developers to the Halo developers again, like the Gears developers listened when they were creating the game, but they didn't really listen or they don't interact with their community as much as 343 and Bungie have, right? Like Bungie was all up in the blogs and the groups and, you know, play dates with like big community members. And so Halo has like a huge selection of communities that the developers really know about and are trying to develop and are interested in seeing continue to grow, right? So, like, I would love if 343 talked to every, like, community head, or at least major communities. Like, MLG, at this point, it's very much a part of the Halo experience, right, for all the most competitive players.
Right.
These are, like, your most hardcore fans who want to see the game succeed, and so it's a very smart group to talk to versus like you guys know HLG, Hidden League Gamers.
Yeah
like that's a great group to talk to too, because you can just recruit two of them, say go find all the hiding spots on these maps, and then they can fix them, right? Like each community has something to offer. Like the Mythic community, you guys know Mythic Tyrant and how he you know, started this legendary All Skulls On campaign experience for the most challenging settings possible. And people are into that. People are interested in seeing the leaders of these communities shape the game because they know what's good and what's not good, and no one else does, or at least not at a level that they understand it, right?
Right.
So, like, it's in 343's best interest to do this. And so, like, yeah, I hope they do, Josh, and I hope that they recognize this. I'm sure they do. They seem like a very community-oriented developer, but with Reach being not as competitive as Halo has been, they really have to show that they're interested in the competitive scene and really have to push. Like, you know, Reach was all about the casual player in every single aspect. Like, they did not cater to the hardcore community at all, except by creating the MLG playlist, in my opinion. And they need to, in Halo 4, give both the hardcore and the casual players ways to express themselves. I think if you do that, you will have the most successful Halo game that you know Halo has ever seen.
I think we probably have already started seeing it in what we saw already in the first bits of Halo 4 that we've seen.
Right. And might I say, talk to some people who do Machinima. Going back to my roots here.
Oh, yeah.
Let us lower our weapons on Xbox Live.
Oh, yeah.
That was my biggest gripe. Because that's what, you know, I used to run Arm the Flag, and, you know, we did all those machinimas, and that was the biggest thorn on our side. Like, oh, we have to, you know, take this energy sword in and, you know, get rid of all the energy from it and make us look like we're not
holding it. Pistol oddball thing.
Yep.
Halo 2. Yeah. I've talked to a couple machinima makers, and they've been, they're at least are excited to see what they're going to do with it. And they even mentioned in the bulletin last week that they are focusing or giving some attention to people who do machinima. So I'm betting that there are going to be some of those tools that are going to be made available to actually make films better. And I'm hoping, along with the weapons down and that kind of thing, I hope we get a good stance that doesn't look too awkward with when you don't have weapons, right, and make it easy to get rid of weapons. And then also, I mean, going back to the whole having night and day thing, having like weather and stuff, I mean, that would be perfect for machinima stuff.
Is
basically having weather.
I might actually consider coming back to machinima.
I mean, I'm writing, well, I've been in the process of writing a machinima script for a while, so I mean,
it's actually funny. Me and some people who were kind of like the minds behind Arm the Flag were talking the other day, not making an announcement, but it would be interesting to see if we decide to bring it back or not.
Podtekler exclusive. Exclusive.
Exclusive.
Do it live.
It's in the talks. That's all I gotta say. That's where I'm gonna stop.
All right. Well, let's get to the MLG specific side of things, since we've talked a lot of Halo 4 stuff already. There have been some changes to the MLG game types and maps. We're on V7 now, and they've gotten rid of some maps, added some maps. So let's go ahead and kind of talk about the differences that we have for, I guess, this series of game types. First off, we have some anniversary maps making appearances. So we have Battle Canyon and Penance in the rotation now. So Battle Canyon is King of the Hill and Team Slayer, and Penance is Team Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oasis King was removed. And those are, I guess, the big changes.
Oh, Battle Canyon also does King of the Hill in place of Oasis King.
Right. Yeah. So Battle Canyon basically took place of Oasis, is pretty much what it looks like.
And is it that Penance Slayer replaced Pit Slayer?
Yeah. Because
they now only have Pit Flag. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Oasis King and Oasis Team got replaced with Battle Canyon King and Team. And then the Pit Slayer was replaced with Penance Slayer.
And no more pistols and no more evade. Thank God.
Really?
So ridiculously overpowered. Yeah, the pistol, the spam four shot was ridiculous. And then evade, like, have you ever played a semi-pro or pro and then having evade and no one else can sprint?
It's not good.
No, I haven't, but
it's impossible,
sounds like a big difference.
So it's huge. Yeah.
So, I don't know the specifics of this, but does the MLG 7 game types use parts of the TU update where it's bleed through, or is that still unchanged? Like, how, what?
Still bleed through, I think.
Because Vanilla Reach is not bleed through, and I didn't know if they incorporated bleed through or not for these game types.
Waypoint Weekly update changed the title update settings for their playlists so that bleed through will no longer have an effect. So this is like for casual gameplay. If someone's running at you with an AR, it used to be, you know, back in Vanilla Reach, that they'd have to take your shield off and then beat you down to kill you.
Right.
And then they added bleed through in. And that was making people like me really angry when I'm working on like my unfriggin' believable and some noob just comes around the corner, puts two shots of AR into me, beats me down and kills me. So I think from a competitive standpoint, I like seeing bleed through in the game. But from the casual side, like I'm still very much used to the very transparent system where shields off, headshot or melee will kill you. Shields on, you're safe. You know, and I like that. For Reach alone, but I think MLG has stuck with bleed through because it just works right. Better at a competitive level when you have DMRs and no sprint.
Well, and it makes more sense too, because I mean, if your shields pop, the resistance is gone for whatever momentum's left in the bullet or the melee to go through and hit you. So, or at least that's how I see it. We had a big long discussion a few weeks ago on the podcast about bleed through. So, I mean,
it's a heated topic. Like, yeah. People feel very passionate on both sides. but yeah, MLG still has bleed through.
All right. And then we have zero bloom, no sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is pretty much the same.
I think the run speed's a little bit faster because of no sprint.
Oh, okay.
They took the needle rifle out as well.
I guess the run speed was 110 before?
I think so. It might have been 100, actually. I don't know. But it's definitely 120 now. And wasn't melee damage 75% before? It took three melees.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Because of sprint. But they changed it to 100% now, so it only takes two.
All right.
Yeah, also, countdown, they replaced camo is now overshield, right? And
No, overshield is now camo. So what it says down here, it says camo replaces overshield.
Yes, that's right. And the CTF and TS now have the same weapon layout. Because if you remember, like there used to be evade on the CTF version on S2. And since they took evade out, they're just like, oh, we'll just make CTF have the same as Team Slayer and we'll put camo in. So.
Alrighty. And do we want to talk about the map layouts for the anniversary maps that got introduced?
Sure, I could do that. And do you want me to talk about like weapon layouts or just what has?
I mean, just changed? Go down the bullet points that's there. Because I mean, this is the first time we've really seen the maps in there. So,
right. Well, Battle Canyon is very similar. Or actually, I don't know. It's similar to the old version from Halo 1, or Halo 2. What was Battle Canyon in Halo 1 and Halo 2 MLG?
Yeah, Battle Canyon was Halo 1, and then Yeah, they were.
So,
yeah.
The snipers used to be in the bases, right? And they're now on each base's ridge inside the sniper's nest. Rockets also used to be at the top arch, but they now moved them to bottom middle. And they also opened up the side caves. So people didn't really like that at first, but like Bravo's done a lot of commentary on it, talking about how bottom middle is now no longer a death pit. Like there's places you can go to survive, have interesting little grenade battles, and it's also a great place to control bottom middle hill. So it adds like a nice new dynamic to the bottom mid area. And the fact that there's no weapons inside of the bases means that most of the action happens outside. It's much more faster paced than it used to be. And there's also plasma pistols behind next to each teleport, which adds an interesting new, like, I don't know, dynamic, I guess, to the way that Battle Canyon plays in close quarter situations. So overall, it looks pretty exciting. I like the new Battle Canyon a lot.
Awesome. And then we have Penance, which is the Desolation remake, right?
I forget Damnation. Which one
that
is.
Damnation. Okay.
Yeah, they changed a lot about that. Do you want me to go over that as well?
Yeah.
So first big thing is off of Red Spawn. Like, there's now a lift, so you can get straight up to where Grenade Launcher spawns. And this created issues in Penance V7 because Red Team could just go straight up and then grenade Blue Door as it's going for rockets, and then would have an immediate jump on Jetpack and Camo, and you could also nade their sniper. So what they did was, instead, for 7.1, they had to fix this immediately because it was just causing way too many issues in customs, was they moved the sniper inside to sniper room, and they made it so that rockets and camo don't come up on the initial spawn. So that sort of helped fix the initial asymmetry issue while allowing both red and blue side to have lifts. Then what did they do? They have a lift in shotgun room. So, you know, a lot of teams used to hold down green room and just watch the teleporter and green hall. But now there's a third way up, which is going up from shotgun. So a smart team can use all three of these at the same time to sort of break that spawn trap, or, you know, that vertical advantage. And this is like the first map in Reach we've seen that actually has verticality to it, right? Like, Countdown a little bit, but it's still mostly a circular map, whereas this is very much like a fight to the top and which team can keep top control. So I don't know. I've played a few customs on it. I enjoy it. I'm curious how it's going to play out at Columbus when real pro teams get down to the dirty gritty, you know, details. And is there a way to break the map? I don't know, but I'm sure we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see these two, I guess, quote unquote, classic maps make an appearance. Would there be any kind of other maps you'd like to see in Halo 4 remade, or do you want to see just kind of completely new maps for MLG? Or just quick on a quick note.
Because
I mean, I know like Midship is a classic that everyone right. would want back at some point. Yeah.
It's funny that, like, I've always been very torn over that question in any you know, game that has like a sequel or more than one, you know, iteration. Because there are those maps that are like, you know, the bread and butter map of the game. You know, like, I feel that, you know, for instance, maybe not with MLG, but, you know, Coagulation or Blood Gulch is like, if that's not in a Halo game, like, it's not a Halo game.
Was Halo 3 not a Halo game?
Well, I mean, you have Valhalla. A lot of people like Valhalla, so.
It was kind of a Halo game. It was an okay substitute.
We won our classic Box Canyon map back.
Yeah. But you know, like Wizard or Warlock, like, that was a huge competitive map that I'd like to see return. Lockout, not Blackout. I want Lockout.
Another big controversy.
I'm trying to think what other ones jog my memory. You know, quite honestly, you know, I think that if Halo 4 launches with like a mixture of, even if they launch with all brand new maps, I would not mind at all. You know, and if they come out with DLC maps and some of them, you know, remakes and stuff like that, then I think that would be really cool. I'd like to see Turf again too. That was one map I liked.
Wow, that was a fun map. So. I feel the same way you do. Like, on the one hand, I think new games should really use the new aspects about them to create maps that are perfectly suitable for that play experience. Whereas old maps are built for old games, right? With different core game mechanics, you know, different storylines, things like that. But at the same time, like, when a map is so perfect, like Midship, that everyone loves it, I mean, not everyone, but most people, it plays Slayer well, it plays Flag well, it plays Bomb well. Like, you need maps like that that are versatile and so just popular and fun that if those make a comeback in a DLC or even off launch, like, I think that's totally cool. And I think the problem is when you start bringing, like, old maps back that maybe aren't super popular, like, that could, you know, be a thorny issue with some people. Like, why are you remaking this map instead of remaking this map, which is so clearly better, right? People are very opinionated. So whereas I might like to see, like, the maps that Josh just mentioned, as well as, you know, Sanctuary is like the bread and butter for Reach, as well as, you know, it was for Halo 2 MLG. and I really love Pit. But, you know, then I know there's a lot of people who really hate the Pit.
Yes, Pit. I love Pit.
Right? I love me some Pit. Like, every time I search MLG, I'm like, please, let's play some Pit, you know? And I think, I don't know, Zealot's a great map, but I don't know. Like, there's, it's people feel like it's like a ripoff of Midship somehow. Like,
it's Midship, and there's a Halo 2 map that the name is, or a Halo 1 map that is escaping me that I can't remember. Someone will listen and send me a tweet and be like, this is what it is.
Duh.
Oh, I can't remember. But yeah, it looks like a Halo 1 map, I think. It was blue and purple, like just like all Covenant maps.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that one map with the guns on it.
I'm trying to think of it.
But they said in their weekly update, didn't they, that they're going to be bringing some new maps back? They said, like, we know what the ladies and gentlemen like.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Frankie made a put a Johnson quote in there.
I hope right? so. I hope so. Can I say, though? I mean, I'm excited that Frankie is like working on Halo again. Like,
yeah,
I love that, man.
There's like a whole, I don't remember if it was NeoJaff or Reddit. I think it was NeoJaff, where just like there was a Frankie love thread. And
I need a link to this because I'm gonna write him a love letter.
I'll try to find it for you.
If he brings, I know he's not like the community guy anymore. Like, I know BS Angel's doing all that stuff. I want Mr. Chief back. That's all I want. I want the Mr. Chief comics and all that stuff. That would be fun.
I just clicked on the Halo Jaff thread, and there's a Halo 3 Sandy vagina thread. What? What is
from Halo 3 Forge or something?
I get. I'm not gonna click on it. I don't know where that's.
Oh, I think I might know what it is because I've seen some screenshots. It's just people doing Forge art. So.
Oh.
It's not as I don't well. I don't think it's as bad as you think it is.
No, I can't find this Frankie love thread. I'm sorry. What the?
No. Oh, I'll find it.
You can send him a tweet. I'll send him a tweet. We love you, man. I actually got to play. He's a pretty chill dude. Very cool guy.
The only two Covenant specific maps I can think of from Halo 1 is Chill Out and Gyrophobia.
Well, Chill Out was remade in Halo 3, right?
That's Cold Storage. There's Derelict.
Chill Out.
Is Derelict
this? It's me being a noob, and I'm like, no, not Chill Out.
No, Derelict.
Yes! That's it! That is it! Although, oh wait, no, they had, that was a remake in Halo 3. What is it? It started with a D.
They made a classic remake.
No, it was remade in Halo 2 as
Halo 2.
One of the last map.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of the final ones.
It wasn't
quite the same, but it was a...
Desolation.
Desolation. Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Here, but yeah.
Enough with me sucking at coming up with map names and trying to think of what they are. I'm always like that one map where, you know, where this happened or
with the guns.
Thank you, Halo Nation Wiki.
Oh man.
You have come to the rescue once again.
Indeed.
Cool.
So what else do we have?
I think the only other thing we can really talk about is the team, but I don't know how closely you guys are even following teams.
I'm not really following the leagues that closely, or the teams, sorry. I know there have been some big moves, and I'm not sure what the rules are this time around, because apparently, just, you know, seeing on in the Twitter world of everything that's going on, I think that their deadline for team changes is a lot different this season. You know, normally, you know, it's pretty far out from the event. And, you know, here we are like 11 days. And I think it was about, you know, 1 or 2 days ago, there was some big changes with Warriors and Status Quo.
Yeah. Salt left Status Quo, dude, after what, like 3 years?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I always thought that team was actually gonna make it, you know, and be the longest running team to stay together, but
aww.
I guess
I guess not.
So what do we have? We have status quo with Royal 2 and Snakebite, which came from Warriors, leaving Dursky and Clutch hanging. Mm-hmm. We have
I found Campy, dude. He's with Nated, Tita-Matic, and Hoaxer in Storm Ventures.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. That's
down below the seeds,
cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad Nated has a good team. I'm not going to go into why and say anything about a certain individual, but I'm glad that he has a good team. You know who I'm talking about.
And we still got the God Squad together, right? Ogre 2 Roy, Lunchbox Pistola, expected to win the entire thing again. What else were the big changes? Straight ripping. People talking about T-Squared getting back with Strongside and bringing in the new...
Ninja and McWynn.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. I was psyched to see Ninja and McWynn with Walshy the last event. Or was it last two events? I can't remember if it was one event or two events. That was pretty sick to see.
Yeah.
But now Walshy... We didn't mention this.
Yeah, we
haven't. Casting booth now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Along with
Quavo. He gave up competitive gaming.
He retired.
Yep.
He's now commentating.
It's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to bring a lot of people back. And I mean, honestly, we need better Halo commentators. I don't want to be mean to anybody, but like... I don't know. Gandhi's doing a decent job, and then Shockwave is just like,
oh gosh,
yeah.
I want to know where Unfrankable went. Where's Frank and where's Unbreakable at? You guys remember them, right?
I mean, Chris Puckett tries.
I love Chris, man.
I mean, everyone loves Puckett, but he's I don't know if he understands Halo anymore, bro. I don't know.
I don't know. I think he switched sides too.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't really say switch sides.
I mean, he definitely does have the announcer voice.
Oh my god, yeah, he does.
But I mean, sometimes it's just like,
trust me, Chris loves his StarCraft. That's he got a jump ship. Me and Chris actually played a lot of StarCraft. When I first got StarCraft, Chris was like, "Yeah, man, let's play." And like we played a little bit. And he's, you know, I mean, you know, he's doing like all the behind the scenes, you know, producing stuff. You know, not only, I think this time around, not only is he doing kind of like, you know, being the producer of all three streams, he still has to kind of take a lot of the main responsibilities for the StarCraft stream as well. So, I mean, he's a busy guy. And like, for those of you who like, don't, you know, get to see what it is like behind the curtain, but all those people back there are always, always working so hard. So, you know, the fact that Chris can't get behind the get in the booth for some commentary, like, trust me, he doesn't have time.
Yeah, dude, I saw recently MLG behind the scenes YouTube video. If you just type in MLG behind the scenes, it'll come up and they show you like all the people working back there and all the crazy wires and having to switch the streams. Like, you're right, dude, it's intense in the background.
It is crazy.
People work like nonstop.
Man, I wish
like
I could just go back there and see the complexity of their setup.
I just want to say it's gonna be so amazing. Like as much as like I loved my time at MLG. I loved working there. I loved, you know, doing the photographs and stuff like that and working behind the scenes. But it's gonna be amazing to go to, because I'm going to Columbus. It's gonna be amazing to go to an event and not have to like be there from like, you know, 8 a.m. until like 4 a.m. Right. in the morning. It's gonna be nice to be like, yeah, man, you know what? I'm tired. I'm gonna go to sleep. It's gonna be so awesome.
I just remember the first time I was there with you guys, I took you out to, what was it, TGI Fridays?
Oh, dude, yeah. There's some good times at TGI Fridays.
We stuffed six people in my car.
It was awesome.
It was crazy.
I love MLG, man. I love the live events. I love, you know, getting to see all these people that you haven't seen for, you know, for months, if not years, and reconnect with everybody. It's a really good time. And seriously, like, I mean, if you're sitting there listening to the episode and you are, you know, a fan of MLG or just kind of like Halo or any of the games that they play in general, you know, because they brought on a lot of games this first event with like the fighting games too, You know, if one is around your area or you can spare, you know, the expense to go check it out, I encourage you to do so for sure.
It's a lot of fun.
Definitely. I've had friends tell me like they've gone and met up with people in their communities. Just like, I don't know if you guys have heard of BigTeamBattle.net or this new competitive BTB scene, but I know like at least 24 people from that community who are going to Columbus and meeting up for the first time. Like, these are people who've been playing on teams together or just interacting in the forums. And it's like, whoa, you're like Matt Clint. I don't know. Are they going to, you know, like, you're a really tall, skinny white dude. Like, I don't know. It's really cool. I wish I could go, but unfortunately, I'm on the West Coast this time around. So.
Well, you have Anaheim.
Right? I'm looking forward to it, dude.
That one, but,
I hope Halo's there.
The biggest, you know, thing, like you said, you know, I do it for the community and the people, you know, around me, because I remember my first MLG event in Meadowlands. We went there and I was part of the Good Game Network, and we met up with a whole bunch of people from, it was Ty the Leader, Halo 3 Wheelman, OCR, Outcast Reborn. And it's funny because we spent more time in that hotel room than we did at the actual MLG event, and we were landing and having like a good time, and like it was awesome. And like that's the coolest thing. And there's another group, Iron Fox. They kind of came out of the Good Network, and they're coming to Columbus because there's no event in Texas this year. And big shout out to those guys, especially D-Day. You know, I can't wait to meet those guys. You know, that are going to come up.
They just had a match today, actually, against this new team, Legendary. I don't know if you've heard of Versus Electric or Soils or Bookling, but these are all like 1v1 and 2v2 game battles kids who just started up a team, and Iron Fox beat them today in a BTB match.
Nice. It's
pretty legit. Yeah, but no, they definitely are looking forward to Columbus, and a lot of the teams are going to be out there. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you guys are out there and you remember me from those good old days back in Arm the Flag, man. Hit me up on Twitter. Call me Anti-Pro. I'll give you my phone number. We can link up because it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But what else do you want to talk about, MLG?
I think we pretty much covered everything.
We hit everything?
Yeah, I gotta be running, fellas, pretty soon. So
I think so.
I think it's a good time.
Yeah, we hit just about an hour, so.
It's time to wrap it up.
Time to wrap it up.
Your shortest show ever, Dust Storm.
No, actually, this is not the shortest show ever.
What was the shortest show ever?
I did an update show for episode 268, and it was 12 minutes long.
Oh, wow. That's way less than our five-hour show that we did on the anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, didn't get to be there, Josh, for our big decade series. We had four different shows, and we talked about campaign, multiplayer, and all the different aspects of Halo coming, basically going up to the 10-year anniversary. And we spent about, I guess, on average 3.5 hours per show.
Dang.
And on the first one, we had 16 people in one Skype call.
Woo! Is that the max?
No, the max is 25, I think.
Oh.
Get a show going with 25, Dust.
Let's do it.
I want to try to max it out at some point in the future. I'm going to do it. And the other thing was, we were doing this live too, and we had probably about 80 people listening live, so it was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
So that pretty much wraps up this show, though. We saw, or from what we've seen so far for Halo 4, hopefully we'll see some pretty good things for MLG. I think we're all hopefully optimistic at this point in terms of competitive gameplay for multiplayer in Halo 4. Hopefully with people playing Reach, we'll see more teams get registered, and we'll see Halo live through to see Halo 4 come out and make it onto the circuit. And I know I'm going to try to make it to at least one event this year. There isn't one in Dallas, and I'm not up in the D.C. area to make it to Columbus. So if there's another one that's kind of up in the D.C. area for, I guess, either the summer or the fall, seasons, then I'm going to try to at least make one of those.
Heck yeah, man.
Are you guys going to any events? Yeah, I know you're probably going to Columbus, Josh, but...
I'm going to Columbus and Raleigh for sure. I'm not going to make it out to Anaheim, and they haven't released the other location yet. So, actually, I mean, technically, they haven't released the other two either. People just figured it out.
Yeah.
There's sneaky people out there.
Sneaky.
Those for sure. And I'm going to actually a lot of esports events over the summer, so not just MLG.
Nice. Yeah, I'm hoping to make it out to Anaheim. Other than that, depending on where the fourth location is, if it's a little closer to the West Coast, might be able to make it out. I just want to go to an event, dude. I hear they're a blast and just really excited for them.
Yeah. Well, I've gone to at least one event since, or every year since 2009, and each one of them has been Dallas so far. So I'm hoping I can make one this year.
Right on.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening in. I hope this was appealing to our regular crowd as well as the competitive crowd. I think this is, by the time this gets posted or you guys are hearing this, it'll probably be up on MLG. Greg G. Lewis will probably post it up on the forums over there. So if you're listening from MLG or if you heard about the podcast from MLG.com, please feel free to leave a comment on the episode page, our website, podtaggler.com, and let us know that you heard us over there. And our next show is going to be a heated armor lock debate, and we're actually recording it tomorrow as of when we recorded this. So we're probably going to have an hour and a half to a 2 hour long conversation just on armor lock. So,
yeah,
we had a small kind of, I guess, derailment when we did our Halo 4 info show when the trailer first came out. And we talked about armor lock for 30 minutes, and apparently quite a few people on Twitter really liked that part of the show. So by popular demand on Twitter, we are going to dedicate a show to armor lock.
I'll send that one out.
Yeah, I hope no one kills each other.
Oh, man. So, I could talk all day about armor lock and other stuff.
And I think that's why people want it, because they want I mean, it's been a long heated debate along with some other things. So, well, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully I will survive because I get to be the moderator since I'm the show host.
Good luck.
That will be the next show. And until next time, keep on fragging trucks.
Bye.
Later.
We'll be right back.